I just slipped through an exam, and you're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Radio 1 91 FM has just gone half past the hour of 9 o'clock. That means it's time to catch up with a couple of candidates for the mayoralty of our fair city, Otepute. Right now, we're joined by Mandy Mayhem Bullock and David Joseph Milne. Ata marie, welcome to both.
Morena, Jamie.
Morena, kia ora. Pumped to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm pumped to have you in here, David. Thank you so much for coming in. Right, I'm going to start with you, Mandy. You're standing for mayor for the second time.
Yes.
After a run in 2019. What brings you back for another roll at the dice?
Oh, Jamie, I'd be a fantastic mayor, a mayor for all the people. I want a beautiful, inclusive, accessible city for everybody.
And David, as far as I know, you haven't run for office before?
No, first time in politics.
Why now? What spurred this on?
Well, first let me say it's not about me, it's about the voter. It's an opportunity for the people in Dunedin to have a real gut check about who they want as a mayor representing the city. And it's a good news story because everyone gets to vote, so the hands are in the, you know, the... What happens now is in the hand of the voter, not the hands of the council. It's a fantastic opportunity for everyone to have a good look at what the options are,
yeah,
and make a vote accordingly. And I just feel like I want to be able to help. I'm in a position to help. I've got the right skills to help, experience, and the right attitudes. And it'd be a great fresh start for the people of Dunedin.
Nice, David. What do you see as the three main issues facing the city right now?
Well, we need to help the people of Dunedin deal with inflation, deal with COVID recovery, and help the environment.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Mandy, same question for you. Three main issues facing the city.
Climate change, the current reforms, central government reforms, and how that's going to change the way the council operates. And, of course, the cost of living. People are really feeling the crunch at the moment.
Yeah, I hate grocery store day. It's crazy, and just pay my rent day, to be honest. Mandy, what do you see as the things that the council is getting right now?
I think we have a good infrastructure renewal plan that's underway in light of the Three Waters reforms. I think it's important that we keep up with all of our upgrades. I like the George Street developments. I think that's good urban design for accessibility for all of our residents, as long as we maintain those mobility parks. I think the cycle connection is fantastic. I'm the chair of Keep Dunedin Beautiful, and we've got Clean Up Week coming up. I'm very proud of our Tidy Kiwi approach here in Dunedin, how we activate the students to do lots of cleanups, how amazing all of our young people are in their adopter spot and protection of our ecosystems here in the city. I think we're a beautiful city, and I want to see more predator-free planting days, dune protection projects, all of the wonderful environmental initiatives that we support.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Same question for you again, David. What do you think the council's getting right at the moment?
Well, I mean, just by opening the doors for business, they get a certain amount right, just as that's like native software, right? There's a certain amount of systems in place. They're getting some basic things right.
Yeah.
But there's a lot there. To criticise, there's not a lot they're not getting right. I feel a lot of people in Dunedin are frustrated with a lot of the changes. It's been hard on people, especially when they're dealing with so much roading and, you know, hard to get to the shops after we've dealt with COVID and we still don't have tourists in the country. It's a hard one to answer. Everyone who works for the DCC as employees, they're all showing up. They're doing their best. You know, hats off to them. They're fulfilling their roles, and you know, they obviously enjoy working for the DCC because they go to work every day. As far as the guidance goes, you know, it's hard to come up with something off the top of my head that they're getting right.
Right, transport. It's the buzz topic right now. Parking and how we move around the city. Mandy, what is your plan around transport and parking? What would you like to see?
We need to be a multimodal city to future-proof the place. So I am all about active transport. I'm very pro people riding their bikes. I live out at Waitati, and we've got a lot of commuters that ride all the way into the city. A lot of their bikes are electric, of course, and a lot of electric car owners out in my rohe as well. I think we definitely need to work on and improve the bus system. I know that the DCC isn't in charge of that, but we are in charge of bus shelters and whether or not there's a seat leaning rail. And I mean this for senior folks and for young mums with lots of kids. You know, we need a good bus stop, high school children waiting to catch the buses. We need to do something to ensure that our buses are reliable and regular and that our bus drivers are supported and taken care of. So I'd like to see a strengthened relationship with the DCC and the ORC, if not the DCC actually taking over the management of our bus services.
Yeah, good luck with that one. Transport and parking, David, everybody's talking about parking, of course. There's the changes to the one way, there's the current issues we're facing with the bus service. As a bus commuter myself, every morning I am feeling that sometimes. What's your plan around getting the city moving?
Well, look, the DCC and the ORC, they have a relationship, you know, they're friends. I don't want an adversarial relationship there. That is a hot topic. I think a lot of the people who use their car, who need to use their car, a lot of the initiatives have just made their life more stressful. They still need to use their car, you know, and there's less parks. So it's not helping those people. You know, I'm a huge fan of biking. Walking is great. I like the buses. Electric cars, okay, it's all right for transition, but a lot of people don't understand the true technology around electric. It's not perfect. I like the technology, but it's not a perfect technology that's going to fix all the environmental problems. It's definitely not. By the way, if a Green Party candidate puts their photo on the back of a diesel bus, it's kind of like, oh my God, that's so ironic. Like, why don't you just buy some shares in the oil company? And also, with the signage around, let me just address the fact that, you know, my face is not out there on billboards everywhere, because it's not about me. I don't want, you know, to inflate my ego. I'm trying to dissolve my ego. I'm also the kind of mayor who is not in the position that I can have phallic symbols put all over my face on the billboards, okay?
It's not about transport?
It's not environmentally friendly to have billboards everywhere. It's bad for the environment, the inks, the wood. It's not cool. So I'm not greenwashed. I'm the real deal. And we're not horse and cart anymore. We don't need billboards. We have the radio, we have TV, we have phones. Okay, it's the old way of doing things. Not cool. But anyway, getting back to the buses, the reason people don't take the buses as much as they should or could is because they don't come regularly enough. We need buses really, really regularly. That is going to be the transition for people. Now, if we have smaller buses that are electric, that go regularly, very, very often, then people are going to be, it's going to be reach that tipping point where people will take them. Not everyone wants to ride their bike because they're sweaty when they get to work, okay? And some people need to carry a lot of stuff, all right? So smaller buses, electric, and there's going to be a reveal by me on the TV tonight with the ODT, you know, Channel 39, with more detail about electric buses. So I'll leave that for that. But yeah, definitely into electric buses. We could have a stand beside kind of business where the DCC runs electric buses, especially from the student hub here down to town. Lots more of them, so the students can easily jump on, jump off. They're always going. They're smaller. They're coming very, very often. So yeah, and with car parks, we need the people to use all the car parking buildings more, have the first hour for free, and build more car parking buildings. And that's where the automation part of my policy comes in, where we're attracting technology firms and the automation, the new way of doing things for car parking, not the old way.
Could I just add, Jamie, I also support regular free loop buses just going round and round the downtown area.
Like most major cities have.
Yes.
The great
Makes
thing.
Sense.
I love that in Christchurch. The city is also growing. We've seen, especially for how we see it in Otipoti, quite a growth spurt of a lot of people coming into the city. You know,
biggest growth spurt in like 30 years.
Yeah, I would say more. Than 30 years, but yeah, so a lot of people, so demand on infrastructure has never been higher. What do you see as the council's role around housing? And what would your plan be to increase stock and reduce exorbitant rents, Mandy?
I'm very pleased that the council actually have employed someone for the next 2 years from Kaianga Ora, and they're working right now to make sure we actually address the housing issues. So last week at council they launched the new housing plan, and that's around universal building models, so all houses, the new houses that will be built will be accessible community houses. I'd like to see a strengthened co-governance relationship with all of our marais to make sure that we've got Kaumatua housing. I love our council, it's an income related assessment for housing, but I think we've changed the structure to prioritise people with higher needs, senior people with mobility issues. Like I mentioned before, I'm all about inclusion and accessibility. I would like to see us address homelessness. It alarms me, the number of homeless people on the increase in Dunedin, people living in their cars, and let's face it, we're all just one bill payment away from potential homelessness these days. So, how am I going to fix this? The homeless shelter is inundated with people, and I think they almost have to roster them on and off, that you're only allowed to stay so many nights of the week. So going forward, I think we need to work with some charitable organisations and really get the city behind meeting the needs, human rights, basic human rights of every person. As far as students go, I would like to see landlords really thinking hard about what they need to charge in rent, and somehow, gone are the days of $30 a week warehouse, old cold warehouse spaces that I lived in. My daughter's 19, she pays $175 a week for a dungeon, basement room that, you know, it's old and it's cold. It hasn't really been an improvement the way that we would like. So I think maybe we need to put tools in the toolbox of young people, make sure they've got curtains and draft stops, electric blanket, a good heater in their bedrooms, you know, healthy, safe, warm, dry homes. How far down the rabbit hole can we go? We've really got to improve our housing stock. You know, Dunedin's not a great place to live in the winter.
All right. Same for you again, David. How do you see the issue with housing, and rents for housing and things like that, you know?
Yeah, it's a good
control.
It's a good question. With economic activity, if you have more money in the pocket of people, it's easier for them to pay their rent or their mortgage. It's a tricky one. The landlords, I mean, that's private business, basically. There's nothing you can do about that. They've legislated for that. They just need to make sure they're meeting all the requirements and that there's enforcement there of their requirements. I mean, there's nothing more you can really do with that. You need to look away from that. Have more buildings like the university's put in, that large one that's going up down near the Polytech. That's kind of the future for student housing, because that's safe and it's warm. It's going to be more affordable. So that's kind of the future. And it's building up, okay, not these, you know, drafty houses that are all spread out. That's kind of like, you know, not the way forward. Building is something I've had a lot of. That's one of my passions. Okay, I was part of opensourceecology.org, which is a US based company. So it's a charitable. It's a trust. Like it's an open source organization, and they have Eco Seed Home. So at the inception of that, back at the late 1990s, early 2000s, I gave some technology advice with the ceramic technology and the brick building that they have there. So they've basically tried to figure out how to build the most cost-effective, aesthetically pleasing house. So that's one thing I would like to bring to Dunedin. And other technology like 3D printing houses. So are going to need help from the building firms, small, medium and large. We can, the DCC can hit, buy some of these machines to start off with and rent them to the building companies at a very cost-efficient price, or other automation technology that building companies can use to bring down their costs, to make houses cheaper to build, to make them build, to build them faster. Okay, we need to start using some of this new technology, and also manufacturing it here, whether it's structurally insulated panels or the 3D printing thing. It's, yeah, so I'm super passionate about housing. The DCC has land. We need to open up some of that land for to build affordable housing for people. If you've just broken up with your husband or wife and you've got kids and you're looking for a place to stay, anyone in that situation knows how hard that is. The landlords don't want to rent to anybody who's got kids. Okay, it's impossible. We need more housing. It's really, really difficult. We do not have enough homes in Dunedin, and they're too expensive to rent. We need more things like the on Mornington at the old High Street School, primary school. That's really cool. If we had more stuff like that, sort of medium density, really healthy homes, and where people can have, you know, affordable short to long term stays to get them on their feet, and then, you know, with that stability they can earn more, they can move up in the world, get their own home and that kind of thing. So we really, really need to help the people have an option of just somewhere to live.
All right, David, what do you see as the role of a mayor?
It's a responsibility, not a job description. The main role is to look after the people of Dunedin, that in any way that they can. To use the processes of the council, follow the rules, but the main thing of the mayor is to look after the people of Dunedin. Beyond that, represent the city of Dunedin, talk up to government, advocate for Dunedin to government. Okay, so I'm in a position where I can do that because it's the, you know, like Grant Robinson went to university with me, and Jacinda Ardern, she's a similar age. You know, we're in the same kind of Gen X thing, whereas Gen X has always had a real problem with taking power in local politics, and it's time that we don't have it for the younger generation, slightly like Aaron Hawkins is 10 years younger than me. We don't have it for the older, like Jules Radich. It's, we need Gen X here to represent the city at the moment.
All right, Gen X. What do you see as the role of a mayor, Mandy?
Well, the mayor is just one voting person at the table. Everyone on the council is sworn to represent all of the residents of beautiful Aotearoa. I do think that they have an advocacy position, and also one as an ambassador for our city. If I was the mayor, I would seriously be focused on well-being and looking at our social well-being policy, economic, environmental, social and cultural well-being for all of our residents.
Rob, we just go through some quick questions now, quick fire, because we're time is slowly ticking away. We're quickly ticking away, I should say. Climate change, of course, there's the South Dunedin question, whether or not that question is bigger as we previously thought it was or not, with some new data coming out anyway. How do you see the response to climate change? What would your response be for the city, Andy?
I think we need readiness and resilience. All of our coastal communities need action plans. I personally coordinate an emergency response group for all of our little coastal places on the north coast where I am, and that's based around resources and how we're going to adapt to increasing weather activities. We've got floods, we've got storms, we've got potential disconnection is something that all of our little low-lying places will need to consider. So I think community connectedness is really important, that you know your neighbours and that you've got a plan and that your kids know what the plan is. If we had a situation like the Christchurch earthquakes, are we ready? Do we have places for all of those people to be relocated to should we need to in the middle of the night? I practice this a lot out in my area because we do have a lot of flooding events, and with our proximity to the highway we had some people snowed in, refugees from the roads just the other evening, and we opened up our community hall and we activated as a community to bring bedding and food and meet those needs and make sure they were looked after. They were warm, they were safe, and they were sheltered. And we need a plan that can do that across the city for everybody.
All right, David, climate change, where do you see it? How do you see how we work through it?
Well, climate change, I mean, we're not, the effects are not that obvious in Dunedin at the moment, which is quite good for us. We're lucky. There are parts of the world where it's super obvious. Climate change, I mean, the climate, the environment, it's everything. You know, the environment is everything. We are on a rock in space. And there's some hydrogen sun, okay, heating us up. It's crazy. It does not make any sense. All right? It doesn't make any sense. Why is there even an atmosphere? How does that all hold together? Do you know what I mean? We're breathing nitrogen and oxygen. Okay, the Matrix. Do you really think that's air you're breathing? Okay? You just got to have a bit of a macro approach here. Look, as far as looking after the people of Dunedin, if we you know, the first day of being mayor, I would be like, okay, what happens if we get a huge rain like Nelson? Do we know what we're doing? Okay, are the plans right? Does everyone in the council know what to do? And then, have we had a marketing campaign so the people of South Dunedin know what to do before it happens? Okay, so it's not just about management knowing what to do. It's everyone. Everyone is responsible for climate change. Okay? We want to know what's going to happen if we have an earthquake. We've got to be prepared. All right? Like a Navy SEAL kind of thing. Preparation. Training, all that sort of stuff. That's kind of basic. So, but as far as climate change goes, you know, I care about the environment. You know, I'm a beekeeper among other things. I know about some effects with climate change, but it's a really contentious topic. I just say I'm open minded there, and yeah, I'm open minded.
All right, Mandy, relationship with Mana Whenua strengthen. How do you feel about the relationship that's going on now? How would you like it to move forward?
I think we're working on it, but I 100% support a co-governance model. I would like to see better iwi engagement, iwi hapu, and I think that needs to be at the forefront of our decision making. So we need to make sure we go and speak to the marae and the runaka on every single decision we make across the city, that they have some input into that.
Okay. And you, David?
Look, I love the Maori culture. It's, as far as the treaty goes with Dunedin and governance and the DCC, yeah, we can meet all the treaty requirements. That's no problem. It's there in black and white. We have a, you know, pro, you know, we want to do that, but it's got to be, you got to think, my thinking is beyond that. It's different than that. Maori people and Kaitahu, Naitahu, they don't need our help. Okay, they're strong people. They built this country. They're not there for handouts and like, oh, we've got to treat them specially because of the treaty and da-da-da-da-da. Before colonists came here, there was common law. Okay, so sometimes it's about asking the right question. What would a litigious scholar consider the state of New Zealand common law before the treaty? Before we had the treaty, what was the common law? That's what I'm thinking. You know, they need the Maori people need the respect. We are here at their grace, and it's as simple as that.
All right. Art sector, of course, over the last few years, Fortune Theatre, Sammy's. Dilapidated, closing down. Venues are in trouble with noise issues, buildings, you know, gentrification, all that kind of stuff. How do you see the art sector, not just musically, but public art, DPAG, museums? What's your plan around those, Mandy?
Well, as I mentioned before, my well-being focus, I think that arts and culture play a really important role in people's sense of belonging, well-being and inclusion. I belong to the creative community and I think we need to plan for noise. Every week in the Octagon, I'm putting on music at lunchtime, hardcore. It was my brain child idea after the Charcoal Blue consultations that happened nearly 4 years ago into what was going to replace the Fortune and Sammy's. And really, I I feel like that ship has sailed because nothing has happened since that consultation, like previous arts consultations too. I don't support the black box idea for the stadium. It just doesn't feel right. I would like to see Stage South and the Fringe group be included in the planning, and they know best what the performing arts require. I'm a massive fan of the Crown and the Chin family and all that they've done for the music industry, and I think that the council could do a much better job on our noise control and insulation guidelines for new builds. And I think there needs to be maybe a model adopted like Melbourne City has, where people who want to live in condensed inner city apartments actually sign a waiver around noise levels and know that a thriving and vibrant city does have a thriving and vibrant music scene. Dunedin was built on that alternative music scene. So one of my things, Heartcore at lunchtime, is I showcase our musicians, and they're more than willing to play for free, but I would love to have funding to pay them to perform at lunchtime so that the heart of the city is a more vibrant and welcoming place to be.
All right, and you, David, how do you see the art scene, the public art, DPAG, the music venues?
Well, there's a lot of rich soil to work with there. It's a great opportunity. I mean, as a graduate from the art school and someone in business, it's a great opportunity to blend those two things together, where, you know, the performing theatre people, they need more tickets, they need more customers. So there's economic activity as a trend stacking thing that can be layered with the arts. You know, I'm a huge, you know, I love art. You know, I've been an art teacher. So there's, yeah, the Octagon, I would like the Octagon to become more of the centre of things. Like, it's kind of died out a bit. There's a square there on the lower side, which would be great for like Shakespeare in the Park, and you know, kids come along and see, you know, like outdoor plays there would be great. It would be really good to use that more for more things, and also as a music venue, definitely. So it's kind of like, use what we've got and create economic activity and use that money to build a new art centre or something that's been talked about. So it's sort of like putting not putting the horse before the cart. We want to generate activity and have some new things happening. So the Fortune and the Octagon, that would be the places to use to have some new things happening.
All right, the closing statements. We'll start with you, Mandy.
Can I talk about Three Waters reform?
We've run out of time. I've got to start the chart show.
Sure.
Yeah. I wanted to get to it, but we've run out of time. So, closing statement. Why should you be the mayor?
Because I'm invested in the people of Dunedin. I work for Foreign Emergency New Zealand Local Advisory Committee. I work for local government as the executive for community boards. I'm all about localism. I want to be your voice on the council, ladies and gentlemen. Dunedin needs to be a future-proofed, vibrant, inclusive, accessible, equitable place for all of its residents.
All right, and David, why should you be the mayor?
Leadership through action. No rates rises the next 3 years. And no more waste.
All right. David, Mandy, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, as always. Lovely to meet you, David.
Thanks, Jamie.
Lovely to meet you, Mandy.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. But find more at r1.co.nz.